রাত যদি আমি থেমে যেতাম, শেষ বিকেলের মতো সজেতাম, অসীম রাতের শেষে শয়নে সূর্যের সাথে আমি ঘুমিয়ে যেতাম, সূর্যের সাথে আমি ঘুমিয়ে যেতাম।
A little cooler than our normal fare here on Blueprint. We'll explain in a moment, but it's music to take us to, and this may surprise you, the Shard. If you've been to London, yeah, of course you have seen it. One of the city's icons, you might say, 95 stories of it, the tallest building in the UK. Something which really cuts that city's skyline. Now, Roma Agrawal was one of the structural engineers on that project, and that building, the Shard, is her sense of place. Roma, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we go to the Shard, tell us about that music.
Oh, that's a song which I absolutely love. So it's by a British Asian musician called Nitin Soni, and I loved his music when I first moved to the UK. I love that it brings together, you know, his kind of Asian heritage. It's a coming together of his British identity. And I feel like the Shard is a little bit like that because it's an international project. People from all different countries and nationalities came together to actually create the design and the building. But I also specifically picked this song because it talks about the sunset and about how things change with the sun. And one of the things I really love about the Shard is that when you wake up in the morning and look at it, it's got this kind of really fresh sort of blue or green color, and as the day progresses the colors change, and you know, in the evening you end up with this beautiful orange sort of hue.
So I think you need to tell us, for those who might be unfamiliar with the building, give us a bit of a description.
Absolutely. So as you said, it's the tallest building in Western Europe. In fact, it's 310 meters tall, so that's quite a lot taller than the previous tallest building we had in London. It's a triangular shape, so it's got a wide base and it sort of tapers as you get towards its tip. And it's designed so that, it's called the Shard because it's got these shards of glass, kind of spikes of glass sticking out at the very top, which are designed to make it look as if it's blending out into the sky. So it's a very lovely building, which was designed by architect Renzo Piano.
That idea that you mentioned, apropos of the music and the building of sort of cultural confluence of things coming together, that is our modern world.
It really is. So, you know, Renzo Piano himself is of Italian origin. His practice is based in Paris. We had architects from Toronto as well. The engineers were British. The facade came from Europe. So it really was quite an international effort. And I loved working with people from all over the world because I think, you know, we all have slightly different ways we design, slightly different ways that we think. And I think it really adds to the color and texture of the whole process of design.
Especially when they're Renzo Piano, which is...
Absolutely.
How did you come to join this project?
So it was a bit of luck for me, to be honest. So I started as a structural engineer when I was 22 years old, in fact, on my 22nd birthday. And my first project was a footbridge in Newcastle, and that was connecting two different campuses of the university there. I worked on that for about a year, and then my wonderful boss, who I was working for at the time, was offered the Shard to be his next project. And he sort of asked me one day, you know, how do you fancy working on the Shard? And, you know, I kept my cool and I said, you know, yeah, that would be all right. That sounds like a good project.
How long did you keep your cool? Was there a moment when the excitement burst through?
Yeah, about 17 seconds and then that was it.
But, of course, it must have been many years of pretty tough work.
So I spent about 6 years of my career working on the project. And I think what was really interesting for me, so that sounds like a really long time, and it is. But what was really interesting for me was that I worked on so many different aspects of the structure. So before we can even actually go in and build a new project in the middle of central London, there's a lot of tweaking we have to do of the existing structures, which included Victorian structures, for example, from the 1800s. I worked on the foundations, I worked on the office floors, and I also helped to design the very top of the building, which we call the spire. So, you know, it was very exciting. I got lots and lots of experience. And I also went from being one of the most junior engineers on the team to being one of the most senior engineers on the team. So I kind of grew up with that building, which is very special.
What was the gender balance amongst the engineers?
Not great. So in the UK, less than 10% of engineers are women. And in the construction industry as a whole, it's about 12 to 13%. So there's obviously a big gender imbalance in engineering and in construction. It's something that we're working hard to try and correct and to improve. Progress is happening, but it's slow.
What does that bring to your work? What does that force upon you?
I mean, it you know, makes for some interesting experiences. In general, I haven't had any major issues. I actually think in some ways being a woman has made me stand out because I'm unusual and people tend to remember me. So many of the meetings I attend will be full of men, and they're generally white men. And then you have this kind of young, short Indian woman in the room, and that makes me memorable. In terms of some of the more negative experiences, they've generally been on construction sites. They've generally been about 5 or 10 years ago, you know, seeing pictures of naked women on the walls, even up to 5 or 6 years ago. And then I'm very often mistaken for the secretary. So I think it's very interesting that even in today's day and age, you see a woman on a construction site and think, oh, she must be here to make the tea or to take the notes.
Roma Agrawal was not the secretary. She's one of the structural engineers on an extraordinary project, the Shard in London. And Roma, I mean, working on something like that, on a building of such magnificence, is it going to be hard to back up from that? Is it going to be hard to take on the next job?
Well, I actually finished my work on that project nearly 5 or 6 years ago now.
Okay, so you've passed that moment.
I've passed that. And in fact, what's really interesting is what I wanted to do straight after the Shard was to work on a really small project. And the reason for that was I was in a very large team with the Shard, and I made a great contribution. I really loved doing that. But what I wanted to do next was to take a lot more responsibility and actually run a slightly smaller project. And it was a really good challenge for me, because even in terms of the scale of the pieces of steel we were using, I went from designing columns that were meant for a 90-plus story tower to tiny pieces of steel for a beautiful light glass roof. And it was really good for me to keep that challenge going, to keep changing the materials I was using, to keep changing the scale of projects I was working on, to make sure that, you know, I was on my toes.
How does it feel to be involved in something that large? Do you get a sense of the whole? Are you aware of the totality of what you're creating?
You are, because it's very complex in some ways. You've got different people working on different aspects of the building, but of course you're not going to get a cohesive building unless you all come together and talk to each other and so on. I think, in fact, one of my favorite things, and this is not something that we're taught at university, this is not something that I even expected, but the thing I enjoyed the most was talking to other people. So I imagined an engineering career to be very technical, to be, you know, sat behind a computer doing analysis. But actually what I got most out of was throwing ideas around the table with different engineers, with architects, with our clients, with the people looking at the cost and so on. And I loved that idea of the people coming together. And you know, when you work on a project together for, you know, between 6 and 10 years for some people, it's really sad when the project ends because you're not really sure whether you'll ever work with these people again.
Well, this is my revelation for the day, is that structural engineering is in fact a people-focused enterprise.
It is.
Delighted to learn that. When you see that building, or take us perhaps to the first time that you saw it complete, I mean, what's that sense? How does it? It must have filled you with wonder.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take you one step back because, you know, there was a building there previously which we demolished, and so for a period of time there was nothing on the site. And I would go there because I was working on various parts of the site, and I would stand there and I would look up and I would try and imagine what the finished building would look like. and how high it was going to be and what it might feel like. And it was really difficult, you know, because you were just looking at 3D models on a screen or pieces of paper with drawings on them.
So how did the building of your imagination shape up? I mean, how did it compare to the actuality?
It's bigger than I expected, I would say. I mean, almost every aspect feels bigger. And in a fantastic way. But of course, for me, the joy was that I could see it evolve. And, you know, a lot of Londoners had that joy of being able to see it evolve. So, you know, my sense of that space kept correcting as time went on. But really, the moment that I really clearly remember was the first time I went up to level 87, which is the highest floor that you can actually stand on. And it's a fairly small floor because by that time, the tower has tapered a fair amount. And I just stood there, and I think there was only one other person with me, so it was really quiet, really peaceful. And I stood there, looked over the views. I was standing on a piece of steel that I actually designed. I'm not great with heights, so that was a slightly disconcerting experience as well. But I just stood there and I thought, my goodness, I can't believe we've got to this point after so many years of really hard graft and lots of fun. But yeah, we did it, and it's a huge sense of achievement.
And you've had that, I mean, an extraordinary opportunity to shape the nature of a city, in a city like London, to give it something which is such a focus, such a you know, an unavoidable part now of the nature of that city.
I think it's become almost a symbol for London for many people, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. I mean, it doesn't even come across once in many people's careers. So, you know, I feel very, very fortunate to have had that opportunity.
What a glorious thing. Roma, thank you so much for sharing those things with us.
My absolute pleasure.
Roma Agrawal, a structural engineer, author of Built, The Hidden Stories Behind Our Structures. That book is out now in shops, and a structural engineer who worked on Renzo Piano's magnificent building, 95 stories of it in London, The Shard. And that was Roma's sense of place.